Here's tonight's reading, the first book of Samuel, chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could hardly see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears of it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." Samuel lay down until morning, and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision. But Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here I am." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes." In the reading, we plunge deep into the history of God's Old Testament people, before there were kings in Israel. The first book of Samuel is in fact part of a longer work written originally in the Hebrew language. It stretched from the book of Joshua through the book of Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. A long book, but one book. Quite a blockbuster. And looking at the beginning of our reading, Eli was one of the judges or leaders. Samuel then, probably a boy of about 12. Later, himself to be a judge and to anoint both Saul and David as kings. He's at the start of his life's work, as some of you are. You're at a crucial juncture. We read that in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. It was clearly a difficult time for the people of Israel. Internally, corruption in high places. Externally, warfare with their traditional enemy, the Philistines. A testing time for Eli, a testing time for religious faith. Sounds familiar. It's not an easy time to be a Christian today. There is a lot of skepticism about. Christian faith is dismissed as irrelevant by many. We need vision. A vision for life. A vision that energizes and enthuses us. In Eli's day, there was no vision. And Samuel's story gets going. One night, in the early hours, the lamp burning low, the Lord called Samuel. He was trying to get in touch with Samuel. He called. He still calls. God is always trying to get through to us because there's so much he wants to say to us. He is a communicating God because he wants to play a full part in our lives. He doesn't seek to dominate us, rather to influence our lives in directions that will be fulfilling for us and that will also fulfill his purposes for us individually and for us corporately. God had a role in mind for Samuel. Here, he's just beginning to show his hand, to call him. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. God had a role in mind, a very clear role for Samuel. God has a role in mind for us. Several roles, I dare say. Does this mean that there is a fixed plan for our life? One that is already determined by God? Have we to find that one way? No, I don't think so. That's, for me, too near que sera, sera, what will be. You know how people often say when something has happened, rather wisely or sagely, it was meant to be. But they say that after the event. Life isn't like that, really. God isn't like that. We are presented with many opportunities, many options of serving God. He offers us choices. And we make the choices. He doesn't make them for us. He leaves us free, sometimes, to mess things up, as Eli had done. There's nothing fixed about it. There's nothing fixed about our lives. God doesn't manipulate us, but he calls, and Samuel again runs off to Eli, who sleepily sends him back to bed. The Lord calls a second time, Samuel. This time he calls him by name. It's personal. It's intimate. It's inescapable. It had to be, bearing in mind all that was in line for Samuel. He calls us by name, by our own name. It's personal, it's intimate, it's inescapable. That's because he knows us better than anyone else. He knows us better than we know ourselves. His relationship with us is a unique relationship. I mean unique to each one of us. No one else has the same relationship with God that you have or that I have. God's relationship with each of us is quite distinct. It's for us. It has a character of its own. We can see that, in a way, in our own relationships with people. We are different people. We act differently, depending on who we're with. God's relationship with us is personal and individual. It has to be like that in terms of what he expects from us individually. The Lord called Samuel a third time. Once again, Samuel heads off in the wrong direction. Poor old Eli didn't get much sleep that night. And he sends him back. Samuel hasn't yet learned what to expect. He doesn't know what to listen for. He doesn't know what he is listening for. Hearing what God is saying to us is not easy. Listening is a skill we have to learn. That's true again in our own relationships. And it's true in our communication with God. It takes time. It takes time sometimes for the way ahead to become clear. We often have to wait. Even then, there may not be absolute certainty. A step of faith may well be required. In our story, Eli at last gets the message. He tells Samuel, if he calls again, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And the Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times. God is a persistent communicator. He does not give up. He never gives up on us. He goes on calling, as he does with Samuel. And Samuel gets the message. Speak, for your servant is listening. And the message, when it comes, is uncompromising. The cozy bedtime story that we've been engaged in turns serious, deadly serious for Eli, who will die, and his sons with him. And the ark, the symbol of God's presence with his people, will be captured, and the nation will suffer a crushing defeat. A deeply disturbing message, which Samuel understandably keeps, or tries to keep, to himself. But Eli is prepared to hear it, and indeed to accept it. When God gets a message through to us, it can be uncomfortable. Uncomfortable for us, and uncomfortable for those close to us. It can be very uncomfortable being close to someone who is receiving messages from God, as Eli discovered. Some years ago, I was called back by God into professional ministry. That felt good to me. For my wife, it meant leaving her home and her church and some friends, and it meant leaving the security of a generous income. But God gave her a message too, a very practical message. God said, "I'll pay the bills," and they have been paid. A communicating God. And here's where the title comes in. Are you expecting an email? How would you react to an email from God? Well, I suppose the answer is you would reply respectfully and quickly. In fact, God chooses to communicate with us in ways which respect our freedom to respond. Let me describe some of them, not all of them. You'll often hear the Bible called the Word of God, God's Word. Over centuries, he has addressed people, challenged them through the written scriptures. Through them, he speaks to us today. But we need to read our Bibles regularly. If you really want to go on in the Christian life, my advice would be get to know your Bible. If possible, by reading a portion of it each day. And there are many guides and notes which can help us to do that. The second way in which God communicates with us is in worship. Where else would we expect it? And that includes the whole experience of together singing, praying, the silence, the reading, and the preaching. Please don't lose the opportunity of listening, of waiting on God before the service, during the service, and afterwards. I recall an occasion some years ago sitting in a conference center chapel at the end of a service, a wonderful service, and I couldn't bring myself to get up. When out of the blue, God said to me, "I will want you back in full-time ministry." I'm not talking about a voice in my head. Simply a clear and unmistakable conviction that this was what God wanted of me in due course. Out of the blue, in the sense that I was well settled in a career in social work and had no plans to return to church work. The only way I could respond on that occasion was, Lord, you'll have to make it happen, because I couldn't see how it would be done. Exactly, I mean exactly, it was the same conference 5 years later. I was sitting in that same chapel, back in church work. A third way that God communicates with us is through other people. This can work in two ways. We may be uncertain about a crucial course of action, unsure whether to take a big step. It's open to us to seek advice from fellow Christians of discernment and experience. It's a perfectly good way of checking out God's will for us. There may, on the other hand, be occasions where fellow Christians comment or suggest to us without being asked and point us in the right direction. Again, a personal experience. A Christian friend was aware that I was looking for a new job. She rang me to say, I've seen just the job for you in the paper. And she described it. My reply was, oh, I've seen that. It's not quite what I'm looking for. Not quite what I have in mind. My wife heard the call. What was that about? I think she might be right. Send for the details. I did. And I spent 10 years in that job. One last way that God can communicate with us, perhaps more difficult to describe, it's through the circumstances of our lives. If we can read situations carefully, the situations around us, what's happening, what's not happening, if we're open to what that situation is telling us. Again, I would like to illustrate this personally. I retired 5 years ago and was happily involved in church and community down the road in Llanfairpwll, essentially in a lay capacity, not as a minister. Early last year, I met a woman minister who suggested I might become involved in ministry again. I was rather blunt with her and told her that I didn't want to do that and gave her several reasons. Over a few months, the situation changed in Llanfairpwll, and I found myself talking again with my friend, quite unknown to me, as I mentioned to you earlier. I'd never even been to Maesgaerchen. There was an opportunity for ministry in Maesgaerchen, and I've now spent a year there. One door closes, another door opens. We have to be prepared to keep knocking on the doors. A communicating God who has his ways of getting through to us. Are you expecting an email from him? Don't rule it out. Maybe he's working on it. May we quietly pray together. God speaks to us. He loves to speak to us in times of worship. Maybe that's when he can really get through a reading, through a sermon, through a song. What is it that God is wanting to say to you at this time of your life? What is it that he is saying tonight? As he speaks your name, John, Sally, Megan, Nick, listen for his words to you personally. So our prayer tonight is Samuel's prayer. Speak to us, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen.